Thank you for downloading this podcast. We trust you will be blessed by the following message from High Praise.
Are you in 2 Chronicles chapter 7? After watching the movie yesterday for the third time, I was just so inspired once again. And since there were so many from the church that were able to be there, I really felt that it would be fitting just to take up where the movie left off. And the very last thing that you see in the movie is there's a scripture that is posted there very boldly for everyone to read, and that is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I know that it's a familiar passage of scripture. I would like this morning, though, as we read this passage of scripture, to start with verse 13, because I believe that it is going to bring some light, shed some light, what I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting us to begin to enunciate and articulate today. Now, understand that today it is not my goal to excite you. It is not my goal for you to leave necessarily running around the building. Now, if you do, that's great. That's wonderful. But more than anything, I want to impart something to you that will make a difference within your life. I want to bring something to your understanding, and not only to a natural mental understanding, but to where it actually begins to drop into your heart, where you begin to act on that. Because understand this, any knowledge that you don't act on, ultimately you will end up losing. Anything, I mean, there's things that I learned whenever I went to school that I do not know today. You know why? Because I did not continue to practice it. There are, you know, maybe a very simple algebraic equation I might be able to solve. And anybody, whenever you were in high school or even in junior high or middle school, did you have any word problems in math? Did anybody here have word problems in math? Does anybody know what a word problem is? I'm not talking about a spelling issue. I'm talking about, there's a scenario that is painted before you, and you've got to put it in an algebraic equation and then solve and get the answer, okay? You have to resolve the issue. And I used to love, I know a lot of people don't like things like that, but I loved word problems. I could ace word problems. Give me a word problem, I can put it in an algebraic equation and solve it very quickly. And but I have to tell you, that has been almost 40 years ago. If you give me a word problem today because I'm not having to deal in that arena on a regular basis, it would have to be very, very simple. It would have to be if John has two apples and Susan has one apple, how many apples do they have together? So it has to be very simplistic now. Now, I at one time I could do the very complex word problem. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just telling you that I could do this at one point in time. I mean, I excelled in math, and I loved math, and I loved algebra. I didn't care for geometry, but I loved algebra, and I loved doing all of the problems. But today, if you put them in front of me, particularly if there's two variables, forget it. I wouldn't even know where to start. And the reason for that is because although it was at one time knowledge and it was at one time understanding, because I did not continue to practice it on a daily basis, I lost my understanding of it, and it is no longer knowledge within my life. So understand this, you know what? We can know things about prayer. We can know things about warfare. We can know things about the kingdom of God. But if we don't practice it, if we don't put it into a place of application within our lives, then we will not retain it within our knowledge. We can go see that movie, War Room, but at the end of the day, it can inspire us. But until we're willing, understand how I say this, to clear out one of our closets and make it a prayer room and put together a prayer strategy and begin to do something, it's nothing more than an entertaining movie. It's a good entertaining movie, but I don't believe that was the purpose of that movie. Even seeing the interview with the Kendrick brothers, that was not what it was all about. I mean, if people just wanted to make movies to make money, they probably would not try to concentrate on biblical Christian themes. Do you realize these movie makers that are making Christian movies, it's not about trying to make money. They're wanting to get a message out to the world, and they're packaging it in a way that the world can receive it, that maybe we as the church right now have not been able to package it. And I say more power to them. I say praise God. Lord, raise up more filmmakers that will begin to proclaim the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I love the one scene. This message is not about the movie, but I just keep going back to it. The one scene in the movie where Miss Clara says, after there was an attempted robbery, and she stood in the face of the robber and said, in the name of Jesus, you not having my money. Glory to God. I like that. Amen. Devil, you can't have my money. You can't have anything that belongs to me. But she said, now don't forget to write down the name of Jesus. So everybody trying to keep the name of Jesus out of everything. And that's the reason we're in the mess that we're in right now. Man, what a revelation. What a revelation. We've tried to take the name of Jesus out of everything. We'll promote every other name, but we don't want to hear the name of Jesus. And I say, let the name of Jesus be exalted above every other name in this nation. For there is no other name given among men whereby we might be saved, but the name of Jesus. Amen. And so understand, we have to make a choice. Look at somebody and say, you got to make a choice. See, going and watching a movie is not necessarily going to change your situation. Going and watching that movie and shedding tears. You could watch it all day long for a year. Shedding tears. Because I keep thinking that I'm going to be able to go to this movie and not get choked up. I mean, I've seen it 3 times. The problem is this, I know what's coming up. So now in the previous scene, I'm going, I already know what's coming up. And so the reality is, it can move us emotionally, but we got to do something. We got to allow it to do more than just move us emotionally and move us into a place of action. Move us to a place of being doers of the word. I know we've all heard, I'll read the scripture in a minute. I know we've all heard the parable that Jesus, he told about the wise man and the foolish man. And the wise man and the foolish man, excuse me. And he said, of course, a lot of times people have preached, well, the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rock was the word of God. Not everybody hear this. The rock he built his house upon, the wise man, was not the word of God. The rock that he built his house upon was being a doer of the word. Because if you'll read the parable, read the story, you'll find that both the wise man and the foolish man heard the same word. One built his house on sand, one built his house upon the rock. Because Jesus was giving a comparison here. And he says, I will show you what the man who hears the word and doesn't do it, he's like the foolish man who builds his house on the sand. But the man who hears the word and then does the word, he's like a man, the wise man, who builds his house upon a rock. Let me say it like this. If you hear the word and then you go out of here and you don't practice it, then you're operating foolishly. But if you hear the word and then you begin to put it into practice and you apply the principles, my friend, that is the marks of a wise man. Look at somebody and say, I want to be a wise man. Look at somebody and say, you need to be a wise man. Verse 13 of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. When I shut up heaven. Now, everybody understand God's talking here. Look at somebody and say, God's talking. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land. Let me just stop right there. What you are seeing here is a picture of the curse in manifestation. So the Lord says, whenever you see the heavens shut up, whenever there is no outpouring within your life, whenever there seems to be things that are not going in the manner that you know that they should be going, whenever the finances aren't flowing the way that you know that God has promised that they are to flow, whenever things in your family are not working in the manner that you know that God has said that it is to operate, and you know that you have a promise and you know you have a covenant, and whenever you see the devourer coming in, the Bible says that the thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. It says, or send pestilence. Pestilence literally means a plague or sickness, infirmity, or disease among the people. You know, you really see three specific different things. You see the windows of heaven being shut. You see the devourer coming in and robbing, stealing, killing, and destroying. And then you see sickness and disease and infirmity being in manifestation. If you are in any of those things manifesting within your life, in a situation where any of those things are manifesting right now, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What God actually promises is this: if things aren't going right within your life, I've got a solution for you. There's something that you can do about it. Look at somebody, say, you can do it. Look at somebody, say, you can do something about it. See, a lot of times what's happening is we're pointing our finger and we're blaming God when God says, I want you to begin to do something. If you'll do what I've commanded you, there'll be a turnaround within your life. You see, the reason many people today, believers today, do not experience the fullness of the blessing of God is solely because they have not done what is commanded us in verse 14. And so these are what I call keys that unlock the heavenlies. Keys that unlock the heavenlies. That's the title of the message today. Keys that unlock the heavenlies. Now, I believe that God desires for us to live under an open heaven. What do you mean, Pastor, when you say live under an open heaven? I mean live in a place where the blessing and the promise of God is being poured out and fulfilled within our lives. How many of you want to live in a place of the open heaven? Do you want to live in that place? And what I believe that we see here in verse 14 is the Lord tells us this is how you can do it. He says, whenever the heavens are shut up, whenever there is no open heaven within your life, whenever there's no outpouring of the blessing of God, you don't need to panic. You don't need to get mad. You don't need to start pointing your finger. You just need to start doing what I'm telling you to do right here. And if you'll do that, I will come. I'll forgive your sin, and I'll heal your land. I'll heal your family. I'll heal your finances. I'll heal your body. I'll heal whatever you got that needs to be healed. That's what he says. Amen. What we see here in this passage of scripture is what I call also the keys to divine intervention. Has anybody ever been in a situation within your life where you needed somebody to intervene? I mean, things were just not going in the way that it needed to go, and you may have needed somebody to step in, to be like a third party, to be somebody who would actually help resolve a conflict or whatever it is, but you needed some kind of intervention if things were going to progress any farther. My friend, I want you to hear this. God desires to intervene within your life. He desires to intervene within your family. He desires to intervene within your job, within your career, within your finances, within your body, whatever area that you are responsible for and God has delegated to you. Hear this. God desires to intervene and show himself mighty on your behalf. Do you believe that today? So we see here that God clearly articulates the principles that will bring forgiveness and healing to our lives and also to our land. By the way, our land needs to be healed right now. The land that we are living in here as United States citizens, America needs to be healed. I'll say that again because you're not amening enough on that one. America needs to be healed. It needs to be healed from the White House to the outhouse. It needs to be healed from Congress all the way to California. It needs to be healed in every aspect. Our society has been going the wrong way for quite some time. I want everybody to understand that we didn't get here overnight. This has been a slow fade. And by the way, we can't point our finger at the world, the church. We have to accept responsibility. And we have to say, you know what? We have dropped the ball in many areas. I'm not saying that obviously everybody is responsible for their own actions. But at the end of the day, God holds the church responsible for what begins to go on within a nation. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Oh, I could go off on that, but I won't. God's plan is not for the enemy to have control within our families, or have control in our finances, or have control in our bodies, or even within our nation. It is not the plan of God for the enemy to have control in the White House. It is not the plan of God for the enemy to have control in Congress. It is not the plan of God for the enemy to have control in Tallahassee. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'm not talking about personalities here, because we have to realize we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We war against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms. Listen, as long as you keep looking at a man and you look and you say, that's the problem with a nation, or that's the problem with a county, or that's the problem with the school system, or he's the problem. Listen, you're looking at the wrong thing. There's a lot of people that fight, but they're not fighting right. They're not fighting successfully. Listen, I don't want to fight. I want to fight successfully. Let me back up. I don't want to fight. I want to win. It is not my goal to fight. It is my goal to win. You see, my goal is not to war. My goal is to have victory. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying here. So the only reason that I'm going to lift up a sword is in order to win. And if I can't win, if I'm pointing my war or my fight toward the wrong entity, then I'll never be able to win. In church, we got to rise up. Listen, I'm going to say this the sweetest way that I can. It is not one party, a political party here in the United States that has the solutions to America's dilemma right now. And I don't care what party you want to talk about. You know, honestly, I won't even give you my personal opinion right now. But the reality is, a political party has not and will not, it does not have the capacity to bring healing and deliverance to our nation. There is only one thing that has the power to bring healing and deliverance to our nation, and that is the name of Jesus. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's a revival that will sweep across this nation. Amen. Now, having said that, I want you to realize it does matter who you vote for. And you need to vote for somebody that's going to stand for biblical righteous principles. Amen? Not somebody that's going to take us down the wrong road. Not somebody that's going to come out and say, well, I believe that women's health. You know what women's health, you know, this is what's amazing, how to get off on this. Amazing within our society and our culture. Now we are using the term women's health to define killing babies. How about baby's health? We want all ladies to have a right for health care, women's health. No, what you're saying, you're disguising. You're lying. Yeah, that's right. You're lying. You're not lying. You're lying. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We want to give every woman a right to an abortion. We want to be able to kill. Listen, if you're going to have sex with a man, and you're going to conceive a baby, if you're going to be, you are responsible enough to get into bed with somebody, then you ought to be responsible enough to raise that baby once it comes along. Amen. That's a life. I usually don't talk much about this, but I feel stirred in my spirit today. You see, it's this kind of evil and wickedness, and we have turned a blind eye, and we have people of political posturing that are actually using terminology to try to guise what's actually going on to deceive the American public today. Let's call it what it is. You're killing babies. Let's call it what it is. You're saying that every woman ought to have a right to kill a baby. You kill a baby. And, you know, come out. They're babies that are literally being born. And by the way, there was a president that had an opportunity to actually sign the partial abort and ban all partial birth abortions and did not do it. And for you that don't know what a partial birth abortion is, can you imagine a president that has it on his desk and he has an opportunity to sign a bill that says we will outlaw, it will be illegal to perform a partial birth abortion and will not do it. Partial birth abortion is what happens is a baby, the head gets out of the birth canal and the doctors will actually take a sharp object. They will ram it in the back of the baby's neck and they will put a vacuum tube within the baby, that incision that has been made, and suck the brains out of that baby. And it's being done in America. There's blood on our hands. Y'all don't shout me. I see y'all were shouting really good a moment ago. We need some things to change, but understand this. The only way it's going to change is with prayer. The only way it's going to change is with a revival. Because it's got to get into the hearts of men and women today. It's got to get into the hearts of men and women. The reason that we have, listen, abortion wouldn't be a problem. And by the way, if you've had an abortion, I'm not condemning you. Understand, don't you know Jesus loves you? And so we're not condemning anybody. We're saying the act itself. That's what we're talking about. The act itself is destroying. I could give you some statistic, but that's not really my message. But we have to realize that we have to begin to do something about it. We can't allow the world just to go to hell in a handbasket, as they would say. Jesus said to pray this way, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Where? 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 As it is where? You know what he said? He said, you pray this way. You begin to pull heaven into earth. I'm not praying to get out. I'm praying heaven into earth. I'm not praying, Jesus, come get me. I'm saying, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as long as there's a breath in this body, I'm going to fight the devil and I'm going to pray until I see heaven come to earth. Hallelujah. Amen. There's got to be a determination on the inside of you, on the inside of every one of us. That we're not just going to see what's happening is we're giving the earth over to the enemy all because of default, because we don't show, we're forfeiting things over because we don't show up. And by the way, all we got to do is show up. I'm going to say it again. All you got to do is show up because Jesus has already won the victory and he's given it to us. We just got to show up for the game. But we're too busy sitting in our lazy boy, flipping the TV channels to get off our blessed assurance and get in the game and get in the fight. God help us, amen. Now I know, listen, I know you folks here at High Praise, you're a different breed. So many times I make statements, I'm not so much necessarily talking about you, I'm just saying there is the general condition of the church at large right now. I know you march to a different drum. This church, we march to a different drum. If you want a place where you get convenient Christianity, you are not in the right place. Now, I know you usually won't hear a preacher say that, but I'm just going to go ahead and let you know. If you want a place where you can just feel comfortable, you can come once a month, and you can be an Easter and a Christmas Christian, and I don't even think you can put Christian on the end of just Easter and a Christmas person. That's not being a Christian if you just show up at Easter and Christmas. Hallelujah. You mean after all that Jesus did for you? You mean after the fact that he bled and he died for you? After the fact that he took 39 stripes on his back for your healing and your health. After the fact that nobody took his life from him. He willingly laid it down for you. He willingly laid his life down for me. He was willing to be brutalized. He hung on a cross totally naked. He was humiliated in front of everybody that was there, in front of all of Jerusalem. He was humiliated for me, and he was humiliated for you. And all you could do is come to church on Christmas and Easter. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I read the Bible, that is not my definition of a Christian. That is not my definition of a true believer. And again, see, we don't hear that today in churches because we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to get anybody upset. They might leave. They might take their checkbook with them. But listen, if that offends you, your checkbook was probably never here anyway. Amen. Woo, I feel an anointing today. I took you to a movie yesterday. Thank you. God, fill the pulpits of America with men and women that will speak the truth. God, fill the pulpits of America with those who will stand up for what is right. Fill the pulpits of America with those who will call the church to a place of repentance. God, fill the pulpits of America with those who will not compromise in their stand for righteousness and integrity and holiness and what the Bible says. Amen. I believe that we're raising up some people here, and not just us. I believe they're being raised up all over the land. They're people that God is raised. There's an army that God is raising up today. There's an army that God is raising up. There's a roar. Hallelujah. The roar of the line of Judah is being released. The roar is being released today. We've been talking about it. Now we're going to see it happen. Hallelujah. The roar is being released. Now I know right now there's a lot of people that are getting ready for total annihilation of the earth. Now I'm not here to debate. The only thing I know is what I feel in my gut. And what I feel in my gut is I don't feel go hunker down. That's not what I hear the Holy Ghost saying right now. Go run and hide. Make sure that you stock up on plenty of food. Listen, we heard that in Y2K. And whenever I first heard it, I did something in my spirit said, these people have gone crazy. You know what? Nothing is going to change, and we're going to keep on going. That's why I felt a very confidence in my spirit, man. And I'm not an eternal optimist, but I do believe that we need to hear the voice of the Lord. And we got people trying to decipher this code and decipher this code and decipher this code and decipher this code. Listen, I don't believe the Holy Spirit is that complicated. How about the Holy Spirit code? I said, how about the Holy Spirit code? Under the unction of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, you occupy till I come. You do something until I come back. Listen, whenever the Son of Man comes, will I find faith on the earth? Faith isn't found hiding in a cave. Faith is found on the front lines with a sword in your hand, saying the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. I'm not hiding in no cave. I don't like caves. Man, the Marriott is roughing it to me. You think I know there's people that, if you love camping, wonderful, great, hallelujah. And you love motorhoming, wonderful and great, nothing wrong with that. It's, you know, different tokes for different folks, as they would say. But you know what? I'd never liked camping. I went camping a couple. I didn't like camping. I didn't like fishing. I didn't like anything where there was mosquitoes or gnats, and I didn't like worms. I didn't like baiting my hook. I didn't like sitting in a boat with the sun shining on me all day, watching a cork bob in the water. And there are some guys that love that. You know what? And praise God. Hallelujah. More power to you. Hallelujah. I'll get you a Columbia shirt so you'll be able to breathe, all right? You like that, Robert, don't you? That's wonderful and great, but see, that's not what I like. So I'm not going to go in a cave, go hide, hunker down. Going to get bad. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. And that's where a lot of believers are living right now. Oh, it's getting bad, 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 bad. Wake up! Put your armor back on. Get out of bed. The Holy Spirit drill sergeant is here right now. I know it's 4 o'clock in the morning, but get your tail out of bed. It's time to go do something. Well, you don't understand. I'm retired now. We refire. See, when things are locked up within your life, there's something that we can do about it. That's the biggest lie that the enemy perpetrates on the church right now. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. You know, nothing you can do about it. It's just going to be this way. It's always going to be this way. You know, it's bad, bad, bad. And I say, that's not what my Bible tells me. If my people who are called by my name, that's me, that's you, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now here's what I said. Then, and only then, and not until then, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. There's no period there. It doesn't stop there. Look at somebody and say, it doesn't stop there. And will forgive their sin and do what? And do what? Shout it out. I want you to shout it as loud as you can. You mean the Lord actually promised us that he would heal our land? You mean he actually says in his word that if you'll do this, I'll heal your land? That doesn't sound like gloom, despair, and agony on me. Whenever God begins to heal a land, there's prosperity. Whenever God begins to heal a land, families come back together. Whenever God begins to heal a land, husbands and wives begin to function and operate the way they're supposed to operate. Whenever God begins to heal a land, there's healing that begins to flow in the streets. There's revival that begins to break out everywhere. Oh, hallelujah. If you've got your bags packed, unpack them. I remember I was raised in Pentecost, and again, thank God for my Pentecost upbringing. You probably still see a little bit of the remnants every now and then. But man, I tell you what, it's like every Sunday, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for gates of pearl. Not doing anything here on earth. I'm good for nothing, don't you know? I'm getting ready to leave this world. We're getting ready to leave. We're getting ready for gates. We're getting ready for everything except, get this, everything except what God told us to do. Everything except what he's commanded us to do. Everything except what he's commissioned us to do. That's what we've been getting ready for. Just to let you know, now I do believe there's a heaven. But let me say this, the moment I got born again, I was ready then. At that moment, Pam, you're ready. Now start doing something. I remember one year when we had a New Year's. We used to have this a long time ago. We'd have a talent exhibition, and a talent show exhibition. And I remember one year, Kathy Harkis, bless her heart. I mean, she played the piano, and she could play all those old Pentecostal hymns. And she got, y'all did I Fly Away, didn't you? Yeah. Y'all did I Fly Away. I Fly, woo. I mean, the only thing you had to do in our church, you just mentioned the number 355. And I'm telling you, the Church of God jerk started happening. We won't be able to air this. I can only do this with family, you know. People were already anticipating what was going on. 355, woo! They're already shaking and vibing. 355, woo! Derek, you know all about it. Yeah, see you in the rapture. We start doing I'll Fly Away. And then all of a sudden them feet, the lady's head, they start doing this. They put their hair up with bobby pins, and next thing you know, it's bobby pin wars in the front. Bobby pins going here, there, everywhere. They'd shout their hair down. And man, we'd sing I'll Fly, I'll fly away, oh, woo, glory. We'd sing that song. Now, by the way, nothing necessarily wrong with the song. It's just we were getting excited about something that was not even being talked about in the song. Just for your information, this is not a song about Jesus coming again. This is a song about I'll fly away, oh, glory, I'll fly away. Not in the evening, in the morning. When I hold on, y'all. When I what's this song about?
Dying,
right. We're getting excited about flying, but listen, if people that were singing the song that were getting excited, shouting their hair down, if they got a hangnail, they're going to the doctor. If you're so excited about dying, then don't go see a doctor. Don't take any medicine, just go ahead and die. I found that people are more excited about flying than they are dying. But the prerequisite for flying is you got to die first. Now, I said all that to say this. We were always getting excited about everything except what God had called me to do, what God had called you to do, what God had called them to do. We were getting excited about getting out of this earth. Why do we want to leave the place where God has given us an assignment? God has commissioned us as the church to arise and take dominion. That's the first thing he told Adam. Adam, you take dominion in the earth. Look at somebody and say, take dominion. See, I have an assignment. You have an assignment. And I believe that God is just saying, I'm looking right now for a people that are willing to do what I told them to do in 2 Chronicles 7:14. My eyes are roaming to and fro throughout the earth, and I'm just looking, is there some man, is there some woman that's willing to stand in the gap? Is there a man or a woman that's willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to humble myself, I'm willing to pray, I'm willing to seek your face, I'm willing to turn from all wickedness and all manner of unrighteousness, because Lord, I know if I'll do that, you said you will heal my land, you will heal my family, you will heal my home. I've tried everything else. Listen, haven't you figured it out? Everything else will not work. He is the only solution. He is the only way. He is the only thing that is going to turn your family around, that will turn your home around. He is the only way that you will see revival. He's the only way you'll see restoration. Would you stand up and give the Lord a shout of victory this morning? Hallelujah. Come on, give him a, let there be a war cry in the house of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I got 5 pages of notes and I got to the scripture. I am not exaggerating. I was so excited about this message, still am. I'll preach the rest of it next Sunday. Because you're going to learn what it really means to pray. Where he says pray, it doesn't literally, that word there doesn't even mean beseech. Doesn't even mean to ask. Are you ready for this? I'm giving you a preview. The word pray there literally means to judge. We sit as the judges of the earth. You decree a thing and it shall be. Whatever you say will be established. God's saying, you write your own check. What do you want? What do you want in your home? What do you want in your family? You humble yourself, and now you begin to judge. You begin to make these decrees. You begin to make these declarations of judgment. Now, I'll talk about it next week, but I'm telling you, I'm willing. I'm saying, Lord, I'll do whatever we need to do. If I got to get rid of my wardrobe, I'm fine. I'll come here in Crocs and shorts if I have to. I'd rather see revival and be up here in Crocs and short pants than be up here in a suit and not have any revival and not have any anointing. God, whatever it's required to see families whole, whatever's required to see families healed, whatever's required to see families come together and serve the Lord together, God, I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to get on my face. I'm willing to be one that will have a prayer strategy and begin to check some things off. And I'm going to rejoice at the end because I'll be able to declare that my God is great. There's nothing that's too difficult for Him. It doesn't matter what the doctor said, my God is greater. Doesn't matter what the bank said, my God is greater. Doesn't matter what the economic specialists and geniuses said, my God is greater. Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Shobakarata shikarabande. Merabokashatarabante. Burabai, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Hurabahashirabalanindi alamanda. Lord, we say that we will pray. God, we'll begin to call out to you. God, give us understanding and prayer strategy. God calls us to begin to have understanding of what is needed to see things turn within our family, turn within our nation, turn within our homes. God, let there be turnaround. Let there be turnaround. Let there be turnaround. Let there be turnaround within our lives. Lord, bring turnaround. Bring turnaround within this area, in this region. Bring turnaround in every family. Bring turnaround in financial situations. Bring turnaround, Lord God, in health diagnoses. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory. We give you praise. Lord, use us, Lord God. Raise up warriors. Raise up men and women that will fight. Raise us up, Lord. Use us, Lord, in this hour and in this day. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Just lift your hands and give God praise. Oh, Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Father. This isn't, folks, today's a play in church are over. We're not playing church here. We never have, but I'm just saying there's a new intensity that God is calling us to. There's some of you that need to turn around in your business, and I'm telling you, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the solution to your problem. You've tried to figure it out with your mind. You tried to reason it all out, and you've tried to do this and that and the other, and God's just saying, hey, you humble yourself, you pray, you seek my face, and I will show up and I will do what you could not do. It's not your responsibility to make everything happen. Your responsibility is to pray and to begin to declare and allow the power of God to begin to move in every arena of your life. How many of you say, Lord, I want that to happen in my life? Lord, we're surrendering to you. We declare you are Lord.
We trust you received from this powerful message. If you are being blessed by the ministry of High Praise and would like to sow a financial seed, you can do so at our website, highpraisepc.com. At our website, you will also find more information about our services and resources that we have available that will be a blessing to your life. Also, connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. God bless you, and thank you for downloading this podcast from High Praise.